Well, good morning. Welcome. As you shuffle in and find a seat, good to be with everybody. We will be in the book of James, the epistle of James, first chapter. I sent that note out yesterday about we would be looking at this theme of how to receive God's Word. How to receive God's Word, which would apply to any time we hear the Scriptures. And I'll get into that here in a minute. Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to come, help us, speak to us. Father, we turn to You. We look up. From which cometh our help? Our help's in the name of the Lord. And we need You now. We need You to shepherd us and to open to us the Scriptures, to help it in all ways be meat and drink to us, and real, living, profitable, and life-changing. We're grateful to be together, that we have the Holy Spirit with us, that we have Your Word with us, and that we have You leading and keeping us. So make this day full of Thy glory. Let us enter in with joy and thanksgiving. Even now we look to You through our Savior. Amen. When you open God's Word, however your pattern is, when you open the Scriptures, how do you approach your reading? How do you approach it? What's your focus? Or when you come here to be under biblical teaching and preaching, how do you prepare yourself? How do you enter into these times? Third question. If you use earbuds to listen to Scripture, and some of you do, how do you approach that? I had a friend the other day that was listening. When he saw me, he looked at me and immediately had to hand me the other earbud so I could listen. It was a little awkward, but it accomplished what he wanted. He was listening to the Gospel of John, and he was pretty excited. But in each of the situations I just mentioned, you reading the Scriptures, us here together under or in the Word of God together, or if you even just listen in your car or on earbuds to the Word of God, how do you prepare yourself? How do you receive that? Each situation, dear saints, ultimately is the same, ultimately. They're different in their context or different in the setting. But my point is, you and I should never be casual about any of our times hearing and reading and receiving God's Word. It's not a casual thing, right? It's just, it's a welcome. It's not casual. It's glorious. Our approach should always be to learn God's truth, to hear it, in order that we might more fully live God's truth. We learn it so we can live it. It's not just listening to classic literature. It's, if I can say this, it's not just listening to a college class. Yeah, you'll learn some things and you'll use some of them, but it's not the Word of God. The Word of God is supreme in what we hear and what we put into action. So our approach should always be to receive it, to be ready to receive it. James, here in chapter 1, we're going to look at the text. He gives us some very pointed instructions, those Christians in that day and Christians through the centuries. These exhortations or commands of how we should receive the Word of God, how it should come to us. And there today, saints, as we look at the text, I want us to see four things, four aspects. I would want you to hang on to these four so that tomorrow and this week you remember these four items from God's Word. These four exhortations from James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Let's go to God's Word and do just what this passage is speaking to us about. James is going to contrast this work of men, and he's going to transition to the glories of God's Word. He's talking about laying apart. So as we begin chapter 1, verse 21, you'll see he's talking about setting aside that which is unrighteous or not profitable, and to receive that which is wonderfully profitable. Verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and he goes away, his way, and straightway he forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work or of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed or in his life. Amen. May God bless this. So four things, four aspects of this exhortation in reading the Word of God. If your pattern is spending shorter blocks of time, longer blocks of time, these very truths apply to all of us. And we can even today find areas where I've not been as attentive or I've been as disciplined. The first is his exhortation. The exhortation is humbly receive the word. Humbly, with meekness. Look at the passage. Go back to verse 21. James says, second part of the verse, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness. This is really an overarching instruction on how you and I prepare our hearts and our minds to receive truth, God's truth. There's a preparation in it. There's a readiness in it. There's an alertness in it. I took physics 40 years ago this fall, and I was not ready, and I wasn't attentive, and I didn't do real well. Brother Michael Thacker, if you're listening, I love you, and I'm sure you did quite well, but I've told him before, I didn't enjoy physics. I was not ready, and I was not attentive. That's just to use as a contrast. That's not how we approach the Scriptures. The Scriptures are coming to us with God's glorious truth, and we are to be ready. We're to be humble. We're to be in a posture of receiving. I need it. I need to be fed. I need truth. I need His truth. He says, receive with meekness. With meekness. This aspect of it's not any pride or I know these things. We don't have that kind of attitude at all. What an overarching way to think about God's Word. Wherever you hear it, wherever you read it, you're constantly in a receiving mode, ready to hear. Now, there may be passages that are very familiar to you, very precious to you, passages you've committed to memory, but we never get to the point where we say, I've got that one taken care of. With true meekness, with a tender heart, we hear the Word of God. Sometimes it comes from a child up here in the front. I mean, they quote Scripture. It's very moving, isn't it, to hear a 3 or 4 year old quote a passage, and you hear it, and they're to receive it, and we're to hear it and receive it with meekness. So our whole attitude, your whole frame of reference, my frame of reference, is humility. I'm gonna hear the Word of God. I'm gonna be teachable. I'm moldable. C.S. Lewis's quote, plus or minus, I'm close. Every time we open a book, we're always acknowledging there's so much more for me to learn. Well, every time we open this book, we're constantly in need to learn and to be taught, to be helped of the Holy Spirit. That we could see things fresh, see things with new application to our life. But it has to be in humility. A teachable spirit. Like someone that bends their ear to pay close attention. That they're going to hear it. I need to hear what this is. Last night I was just stunned again. God speaks through His Word. Think about what we have. God is speaking. Why would we ever be anything but meek and humble? This is God speaking. This is not a book of men. It's not a book of history. It's not a book of storytelling. It's not a book of literary genius. Yeah, perhaps it's all of those. We know this is the breathed Word of God today and forever. And when He speaks, all men should cover their mouths and listen. Humility to listen to it. When our children hear it, when our grandchildren hear it, they ought to hear it as the Word of God. They should be still. They should be teachable. We should be teachable. So saints, it's God's Word. We should never think, we do this. Oh, I've heard this before. I've heard this. Oh, that's, he's going to be in John chapter 3. I've heard this before. Well, you need to hear it again. Right? Jesus with Nicodemus, can you ever read that story too many times? The magnificence of that? Unless a man be born again, he can't enter in the kingdom of God. You see, saints, it's so comprehensive in our attitude, in our thinking, that to be ready to receive, then you're constantly tender. And he uses language here to this effect, that we're ready. We're ready to receive it. It can come into me and it can plant or it can take root in me. So don't ever catch yourself, or when you do next time, oh, I've heard this one before. You sisters might hear somebody read out of Proverbs 31 and you might say, you know, I've studied Proverbs 31 a lot. Well, you need to receive it with meekness again. Be ready for it. Let it come. Let it be a fresh fountain that washes you, His truth. James says that he's suggesting a metaphor of planting something, right? That it would, this truth that he says engrafted word, or I think the ESV uses the word implanted. Is that right? It uses implanted. So it's a picture here. So that if we're ready and we're humble, it's like soil that's ready to receive seed or a plant. We want to be rich and fertile. We want to be ready for the Master to plant in us. Any of you have a garden right now? Who has a garden? I don't care if it's 2x2 or 20x20 or who has a garden. You guys have a garden up there? Good job, brother. Amen. Let's hear more about that one. That's wonderful. So who else has a garden right now? Growing things? Yeah. So you don't, let's state the obvious. You don't just take some seed or some young plantings, herbs, vegetables, whatever. You don't just walk out in the yard somewhere and just dig a spot and plant it. If you do, not going to be real successful. The soil, the planting medium has to be made ready. It has to be ready. There has to be a certain nutrition to it, or a preparation to it. It's awesome, the picture of this. So we, in our own hearts and our own lives, have to be ready. We have to be ready to receive it. It's a sign of just come, Lord, and plant in me. The other night, Krista went out. We went out to water our garden, our raised beds. And, you know, these are, to say it mildly, they're taking off. We've never planted corn before. Bruce, I might have told y'all this the other night. So late April, roughly 60 days ago, we planted for the first time ever corn. Well, the corn and I talk to each other now. We're eye to eye, those plants. So I said to Krista the other night, I said, do you still have some of the pictures, or do we have our... So we compared pictures, and we had these pictures from April with those raised beds, just soil. I bought and mixed and made preparation for the planting. And there they are, just waiting. They're waiting for the Master to plant in them. And we planted, and now they're bearing fruit. There's sermon illustrations. James is saying, be ready to be implanted. Right? To have your life engrafted or growing. Let the Word of God come. This is true of any age, wherever you are in your life right now. There's enough other stuff flying around in the world that people are trying to get our attention. But this is the one that we pay close attention to, God's Word. Sometimes you'll hear it maybe in a store. You'll hear, all of a sudden you realize that song, they're using scripture right there. Sometimes it's somebody you're around and they'll use a passage, or truth will come forth. You need to be attentive. Love it. Cherish it. Let it receive or come into your heart, ready to grow. Because that's the intent. He's feeding us that we would grow therein in Him. We would receive the words of our great God and our Savior, and that we would grow thereby. We would advance. We would move on. It's a wonderful picture here. So, saints, in this humility or this meekness of receiving it, there's tremendous protection, awesome protection for us. Look at the last statement he makes in verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now that there's some sermons in that phrase right there. James is not necessarily talking about the new birth. You'll see this phrase in the scriptures, to save you. He's talking about preserve you, keep you, guard you, hem you in, so your life will be protected. It'll be in the truth to save you, to keep you from all the other things that would crush you and destroy you. So not only are you receiving it, but for your own nourishment and good, it's protecting you, it's keeping you. It's keeping you growing in what is pure and holy and right. So your whole life is benefited. There's no aspect of our life that's not benefited. You're thinking about big decisions in your life. You're thinking about how to manage money. You're thinking about other things with training children, whatever, colleagues at work. The Word of God is constantly feeding you and informing you to how to walk therein. How to love your enemies? The Scriptures speak of that. This is not some literary book. It's God's Word. And it's God's Word to change us and lead us onward in His ways. So that's the first truth. That's the first reality that he's getting at. It's an exhortation to receive it with meekness. Be ready. Second is the application or the intent. If the word is coming and it's coming to somebody who's humble and ready to receive it, there's an intent in mind. The application is so that we would live it. We would be doers of the word. Or as they say, we'll put it into action. When you're taught something and you're growing in something, instructed in something, the whole intent is that you apply it, right? That you use it. What I didn't do a good job in physics on, because I didn't really have ready soil. I hung in there. I'm not taking any cheap shots at that particular subject. I'm actually exposing myself. I did not have the right attitude or the right preparation, and therefore I didn't carry it away with me. When you receive it, it's the intent that you will put it into action. You'll walk in it. Receiving the Word of God is not just head knowledge. It's about living it. I will direct my life, or I will plant my life in this direction. I'll go with my Savior. I'll think of His truths. I'll live according to His Word. I will love His truth. It will wash me. It will cleanse me. It will renew me. It will build faith. It's for living. It's for putting into action, walking in it. Humility is wonderful. It's the starting point. It's the receiving of it. But it's not the end. It's not just more notes. It's not just more things that you could just store away and file neatly. It's things that are in you. It's deposited in us, right? It comes to the heart. And so we're thinking that way. When we see things in life, we see or talk to people. It's happening a lot these days. I trust probably with you guys. And that is people in our society, people in different spheres of society, and things they're trying to observe. What's going on today? And all of a sudden they'll ask a question, you realize, I can speak, I can apply truth here right now to this situation. And I can apply it in my own life, how I live. He says, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. Not just hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Think of that. Somebody that hears a lot and never applies any of it. Tragic, isn't it? We know this, you know, this as a parent. So many things that you would instruct your children in, and sometimes they just don't apply any of it. But this is the kingdom of our great Savior. This is truth coming that would shape us and mold us in how we're going to live, how we're going to relate to our fellow man. We're doers. We implement it. Meekness, and now you do it. You walk therein. Right? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's leading me. It's instructing me. It's washing me. Oh, what truth, saints. This is living. We say this almost every week, right? We talk about this as God's word. He's feeding me afresh. This is the freshest banquet in all of humanity right here. This is what to partake in. That's why it's beautiful to not just read it, but then to listen to it, to write it, to write scripture out, to record it, to post it, to put it up in the house or in your car on cards or whatever. Let it just be continuing to shape you, your life. It is God speaking to us. I like what William Hendrickson said. The Christian faith is always active. Think about that. Always active. It's not passive. Not in the sense of I just sit back. Let go and let God. Come on now. Most people say that. Most people that say that are basically saying, I'll just see what God does with it all. Just my opinion after hearing a lot of times people say that. What we need to hold on to the things of God and let Him take us onward. We're not talking about holding back. Hendrickson is right. The Christian faith is always active. Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham. By faith, you just keep going through it, right? By faith, Moses. There was action. The living God, they lived by faith in their great God. They trusted Him and they walked in His ways. They believed Him. They were doers. Doers of the Word. So it's always active. Contrast that to a lot of the world religions that are meditative only. Meditation. You know what I'm saying? I'll think on things. Ah, this is really cool stuff. Really? You going to apply any of that cool stuff? No, I'm just going to think about it. Well, when the other kids, when Jabin, Janae, Charity, and Bethany were younger, there's a place in Denton that there used to be this group that would do outdoor meditation. And Philip, being kind of quirky as I am, I sometimes would find reasons to go down that road at a certain time on a Saturday so I could turn Linda, our VW bus, we'd go by there, and the kids would see him out there. And then I'd wait on their responses. What are they doing, Dad? I'm not really sure, kids. What are they thinking about? Bizarre things. How does it shape their life? Probably not, kids. You see where I'm going? They were caught up in meditation. Now, I don't know. I didn't track those people's lives, but they were caught up in something that didn't have action to it. Just going to sit around. Maybe you're going to relax. If you want to relax, just go sit down in a beautiful area under a tree and relax. Think about the glory of God and the glory of Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just sitting around meditating. It's hearing the truth and walking in it. It's loving it. It's saying, this is what He has said. This is how I'm to, therefore, go forward. Every arena of our lives. You wives have instruction to you, us as husbands, you children, you young people, you singles, what to put off, what to put on. It's constantly telling us to put it into action, to be a doer of the Word. It's not some artistic or spiritual meditation. It is to be meditated on. We meditate on the Word of God, right? Psalms 1, in His law doth he meditate day and night. But he's meditating because he lives it. He's thinking on it. The Hebrew writer, chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. ESV. Lest we drift, we must pay attention, listen to it, really close attention to what we have heard so that we wouldn't drift, that we'd have it as the rule or the regulation of our life. The guide of our life. Maybe a new question to ask a friend or somebody that you know that's pseudo-Christian, wherever they are. How does the Word of God guide your day today? That puts it right down where you live. How does the Word of God guide you? Brothers and sisters, you are not just a spectator when you read the Bible or hear it. You're not just a spectator. You are a participant. You are called to put into action what God speaks to you right then, that day, that week, that chapter of your life, that it would come with the most glorious reality and that the Holy Spirit would give it to you and it would shape your view and your decisions and your walk and your commitment to live it. A pilot goes through training. Rigorous training from what bits and pieces I've heard of different ones that have gone through. I wish your son John was here and I could say, John, can you come up here for a minute? I want to ask you a few questions. But a pilot goes through training and they, as I understand it, they also use simulators, some really incredible simulators to simulate events and things. And I've done exhaustive research, but they study these things and they apply these things. They try to master what they're dealing with in aerospace and flying certain types of aircraft. But they don't just do it for head knowledge. They do it. All those things that they learn, they do to implement that they would fly, and they would fly well, and they would fly safely. They would protect themselves and anybody else sitting in that aircraft. Everything that they learn is to apply it. It's a phenomenal truth. Being a doer of the word, everything we receive today, God is feeding you. You're hearing from the living God today in His sovereignty and His appointment. Today He will take us into certain truths today for our good, that we could be doers of the word. That's phenomenal. You can chase all other kinds of things around the world today. Men that think, come down here. We're going to fill up American Airlines Center. I'm going to speak to you on this topic. And you might get a couple of things you say, that might help me make a decision or two. But nobody can say they speak the oracles of God. Only those who read it and pronounce it and speak it as God has spoken it and give it out. That's the truth. That's what we have to hear and hang on to. Being a doer of the word. Doer of the word. Oftentimes in your own personal study, my personal study, I will come to just portions of the Gospels or wherever. And it's as though I've never seen this like this before. And all of a sudden it hits me, it strikes me, it gets to the heart of things in my spirit, my attitude, my whole view of something has been off or just fundamentally wrong. Areas of sin, things, holding things inside, and the Word of God comes and it says, this is how you're to walk. Walk in this way. It's so precious and alive. So living the Word, we're meek in us hearing it, receiving it, and we put it into action. Third, He gives an illustration to be rememberers of the Word. Now this is quite a unique little excerpt here from James. He talks about using a mirror. He gives us a striking and what would be a very recognizable illustration in that day and really in every century. All the kids in here, everybody knows what a mirror is, right? My little grandkids. I'm talking about from even at 2 years old, even young. Where's the mirror? Right? If I say that eventually to Charity and Jake's little girl, Scarlett, probably in another 6 months, when she can first start, show me where the mirror is. She'll be able to show me where the mirror is. Take me into another room, probably. Because it's so vivid. We use them all the time. So James, because of this truth that he's getting at, hearing it, doing it, and now remembering it, don't walk away from it. That's what he's getting at. Let's go back and read 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and he goes his way, and straight forth, or he immediately forgets what manner of man he is. That's the picture. This is an illustration. The thrust of it is that somebody who receives the word and is walking in it, they're remembering it. They're holding on to it. It's continuing to be in their life. All right, let's talk for a minute about mirrors. Now, guys, nobody saying here that the ladies use the mirrors more than we do. We use them too. Okay? We may not use them the same amount of minutes on a weekly basis, but we all use mirrors. They're all instructing us, right? You take the mirror out of your house for this week and see how that goes for you. All of us. It's not going to be a pretty week, is it? It's not going to be. Because we use them. They do something. They inform us. They search us. They show us things. You're going to laugh at this, but the other morning, Krista was with Linda. Y'all got up really early. Praise God for such mercy that day. And so I wake up. I couldn't get back to sleep. So I'm by myself at the house, just reading through these texts and studying this. And I had barely looked in the mirror when she left. And I'm in the middle of this passage, sun's still not up, and I said, Philip, go back and look in the mirror. Not a very fun sight. What few hairs I have left were just, phew. And it's like God said, see how humorous that is? You didn't use the mirror today. Not yet. If any of you had come and knocked on the door, other than probably Brother Mac, I'd have thought, no, I can't answer the door looking like this. Mac's seen me through it all. But the point is, I didn't even avail myself of a mirror to help myself at that moment. I know it sounds funny, but you have to admit in God's providence for me to be on that text in that situation was unique. Even in that, God is speaking. He shows us things. So the mirror, in the first century, they didn't have glass products like we have. So their mirrors were metal-based, really smoothed out as best they could. Metal, they would try to flatten them, get them very smooth, so you could see a resemblance of yourself. Brother, you're not going to get a real good rendering that way. But they would have them, and they were oftentimes, apparently in Rome and in some of the advanced places, they would make these, and they were small, right? They weren't these, you know, ceiling to floor, 4 foot wide, so everybody can be Cinderella or whatever you want to be. I mean that tongue in cheek, right? You don't have that. You don't have that capability in first century living. But they had something that they could look into. So a man or a woman could look and try to get a resemblance of themselves as best they could. But it was pretty weak. It was pretty poor. So the polished metal gave some help, but if you were really going to benefit from it, you'd have to stay, keep using it. You just couldn't do a quick glance. Today we can, in a quick glance, you get a lot more out of a mirror today in a quick glance. But back in that day, to get real value of it, you have to stay with it. You have to realize what you're seeing, what changes are in you. Oftentimes, particularly probably with men, military men, they might ever use a mirror. But if they did, they would make minor adjustments. They might adjust their helmet or something like that. The key phrase is they would make minor adjustments and then they would just go on. They didn't make any major adjustments. It didn't really change what they were doing about themselves. So the true purpose of a mirror is to allow you to see yourself properly. Now stay with me. The Word of God. We need to let it properly search us. Examine us. We need to remember what we're seeing. We need to remember what He's teaching us. Remember what He's revealing to us. We need to stay at the mirror of God's Word and let it search us. Like David would say in the Psalms, search me and try me. Right? These realities. Let the Word of God, remembering it, staying with it, be intent about it. That it would help you make major adjustments. Everybody in this room, by the grace of God in your life, you need major adjustments. Often. We do. We don't need a quick glance. We need to plan ourselves. We need to really intently use this picture or this reality to plant something in us. Am I letting this search me? Is it making changes? This living Word of God, is it coming? Do I leave on a Sunday or do I leave after prayer meeting on a Wednesday? Do I leave after my own daily reading? Is it changing me? Do we read Jesus Christ and all of the red ink and let it just absolutely shape us and mold us? That's what it should do. That's the Son of God speaking. No wonder they would say, nobody speaks like Him. Well, that's what He still speaks. Nobody prints and speaks this ever, anywhere. He is the Savior of the world, and what He says needs to be fully seen and remembered. Let it search you. Let it show you. Let it deal with major changes. It happens in your Christian pilgrimage. You're going to hit certain plateaus or areas that you need a breakthrough. You need God's truth quickened to your life so that you can change how you walk. I don't have to fill in the blank. It's what He's doing in me. It's very different in some ways and very similar in ways from when in my late 20s to today at 61 years old. The Word of God is having major impact on me. It's not a quick glance. It can't be a quick glance. So let God's Word be a glorious searching, reflecting of you. Give it attention. See where you're out of whack. You're walking in lies. You're not believing the truth. You're whatever it may be. Adjust things in your life. When I mean let God adjust them, because you let His truth change you. Yes, the Bible, the Scriptures, they're there to examine us, to correct us, and to change us constantly. 3 years the disciples walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what happened from the first couple of months to the last couple of months? What they saw, what they beheld, what they heard, first time ever spoken by the Son of God. Can you imagine what was happening in them? What they must have spent hours and days in personal conversations, maybe Peter and James and John talking on their own while maybe the Lord Jesus is resting or something, doing something else, talking on it. They were examining. They had to have been just constantly being impacted. We just can't be casual. That was one of the early statements I made today. Reading the Scriptures and having God's Word is never a casual thing. This world needs to hear that. You Christians take the Bible very seriously. Yes, we do. I need to take it more seriously. I need to plant my life on its firm foundation, as the hymn writer said. I need to quote it. I need to sing it. I need to wake up in the morning thinking about it. I need to do yard work, thinking about the glories of God. Do you weed eater to the glory of God? Do you think about the truths of God? I'm not being tried. I'm being serious. Laundry, book work. Whatever you do, can you do it just knowing God is in it? The Lord Jesus was a carpenter. He, the Son of God. He who upholds everything by His Word, the Word of His power, building chairs and tables. Wow. What He would have said in those hours and days to His Father or to others who would have come into the woodshop. Isn't that awesome? Phenomenal. So the Word of God is to be remembered. It's to be camped out on. You look at it. You let it search you. You make adjustments. You're continuing to be washed by it and corrected by it. Moreover, is thy servant warned, as the Scriptures say. It instructs us. So don't, brothers and sisters, don't casually just walk away from it. It could only be 6 verses one day, 6 chapters one day. But don't be casual. Don't forget it. Stay with it. Hang on to it. I love years ago what Piper would say. That day when God feeds it, let that be your nourishment. Right then. Maybe you're going to talk to family, friends, others. But if that's what you, right there, that day, the Psalms, the Gospels, the Epistles, wherever you are, Old Testament, if that is what God's giving you, that's right then. That's your meat and drink. And you can speak to somebody because He's spoken that to you and you can share it with others. Today I read, Will might come up to me and say, today I was reading in 2 Corinthians in this section. Speak it. Let it examine you. Can't be casual. God's truth is not about making a few little changes in a person's life. A few little principles. A few little just adjustments. A little nice little paperback. These 10 things is what God has for you in His Word. 26 pages. Really? Do you have the right Scriptures, author? What book are you talking about? You can't boil this down to little trite things, lists like that. It's constantly a feast. And it penetrates the heart and it makes deep changes in you and me. 1, receive it with meekness. Right? 2, be a doer. Put it into action. 3, remember it. Let it make big adjustments to your life. Don't walk away from the mirror and not even remember any of it. 4, the blessing of continuing in it. Verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, or the work, is the King James, but the doer of it, this man shall be blessed in his deeds, in his ways. Amen. The blessing of continuing in it. Are you continuing in the Scriptures today? How many decades? How many years? Is it still the most living feast that you have weekly? The Word of God? One of the challenges in the college years, I'll be honest, for those of you who are maybe in college years, or is that you're studying so many other things, your mind is being crammed full of other things that you're having to learn and apply. And so this tends to get put aside. Life, that's in the college years. I've got all these other things I need to listen to and learn. Be careful. This is preeminent. As parents, as moms, this is what you need to fuel you as a mother. As a dad, this is what you need. As a husband, this is what we need. To love others, to love people in the world, to be a light and salt in this generation. We have to love this. This is what's changing us. The Holy Spirit making this alive to us. In the heart, in our lives, in how we live, in what we rejoice in, what we stay away from. It's continual. It's continual.
My nephew, when he was a little boy, said, "Uncle Philip, you sure like the Bible." He's late 30 or mid 30s now. And I said, "Yes, Trav, I do. I love the Scriptures. It's God's Word. We need to say it that we need others to realize we love it because it's God's Word. It's not a book or the book. If we want to use that phrase, yes, it is the book. But we need to say it's the living, breathed Word of God. It's the truth. I've said this before through the years when I used to travel more and I'd be in hotels. I'd try to find the Gideon Bible and put it out and leave it open and oftentimes write a note so whoever would come into the room to tidy it up afterwards, they would see, "Thank you for the Scriptures, God's Word, it's meat and drink," or whatever. Just write something. So then maybe they would go, "That person believes this is truth?" Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they do. It's the blessing of it. "He that continues in my word is my disciple indeed." That's what Jesus Christ said. His word, his truth, we have it. It's penned for us. It's been preserved. Men and women have died for this. Hundreds, thousands of them. This right here. It's just not something that we dabble in, saints. Mine's falling apart. I've said the two things that are most precious to me in this life in terms of a physical object is this Bible and my wedding band. After that, y'all go get anything you want at my place. Meaning it's what does it really boil down to? This is God's truth. And therefore, if we continue in it, we're being washed and helped. It's permeating our whole life. What else would you want? There is such blessing for those who continue walking in God's truth because He's with them. He teaches them. The Psalm 1 man. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." He's big. He's fruitful. He's impactful. Those big sequoias or the big bald cypress trees down on the rivers in Louisiana or parts of Texas. They're preaching to you. Don't you want to be a big tree? Big in our great Savior. Not big for us, but big for His glory. Big for the name of our Savior. But who looks into the perfect law? Meaning, who? The language here of James is this intently. He that stays with it and continues therein, this man shall be blessed. This woman, this young person, this person shall be blessed in his ways. Continuing therein. The life in Jesus Christ is always continuing. Growth in grace. Those disciples went with Him, were prepared, heard what He said. He equipped them. The Holy Spirit was given to them with power. And then He went to the ascended on high and they went forth. They continued. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they began to turn the world upside down. It was a continuum. The Christian faith is, Hendrickson said, it's active. It's progressing. It's living. We as a church, we need to let this fuel us. We should never hit a plateau. Okay, we're kind of there. No, we're never there. I know when we say that, we mean we want to be about the truths. We want to be about the fundamentals. We want to love each other. We want to be God-centered. We want to be His glory-centered. But we can't ever say, "Well, we finally, that's it." You don't finish it like a college class. You go on and keep going. It's growth. Continuing. He that looks into this perfect law, this glorious word, and continues therein, the end of that verse 25, shall be blessed. Looking, learning, living. If I could put this word, loving. Looking, learning, loving, and living the Word of God. Yes, today, saints, today, tomorrow, and the rest of your life, brother, when y'all go back to Portland, sister, when you go back to Portland, walk in this. Tell the saints to walk in it. This is what they're to be about. This is what we're to be about. When you dear ones go back to Romania, walk in these truths. This is what you're to be about. Preaching the whole counsel of God, that we let it search us, change us, and we continue therein. This reality hits all of us where we live. Let me close. How should you receive the Word of God? Four things today. With meekness. With humility, readiness, just a readiness to hear it. We get to hear it today. We get to hear it in the opening. We get to hear it in the singing. We get to hear it in the New Testament reading. We get to hear it from other brothers that'll speak some today. We get to hear it in Lee's preaching. We get to hear the Word of God. Be ready. Second, walk in it. Put it into action. Let it inform you and shape you and guide you. Third, remember it. Stay with it. Let it make major change, like that mirror that would be sitting there. Let it change you. Things that you need to adjust in your life. Change entirely. And fourth, continue. Continue in it. Continue to love it and obey it. Cherish it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. That you are a speaking God. And that today, your Word is alive and speaking. We even think of recently Jeff in Hebrews 1. And today speaks through your Son constantly. May we take heed to what you've shared here, what you've shown us, to be humble and meek, to be doers, to be rememberers of the Word, and to be those who continue. Do it, Lord, in us. Be glorified. Help us all to really take heed to this glorious truth today through our Savior, we ask.